We bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, in baptism, we are reminded of that great exchange in which our Lord came to be one with us, to put himself under sin, death, and the power of Satan in order to overcome for us. May we see that waters of baptism as a wonderful exchange for our lives. Born into sin, we have the newness of life because of what Christ has accomplished for us. Amen. 2 weeks removed from Christmas, and already the church has the bareness of the reality that Christmas is over. And when you came in this morning, you probably noticed that, as I did. 2 weeks ago, we were talking about a baby in a manger. And now, we go right away to his ministry here on earth. That wonderful exchange that God does on our behalf as Christ comes to the River Jordan to be baptized. I don't know how many times we think about that, but it is this wonderful exchange that God has made possible for every believer. Jesus comes to all of us who humbly seek baptism. John, Jesus comes to there at the River Jordan. John has become known throughout the region, and here Jesus, an unknown, comes to be baptized, and yet it is John who recognizes who the Christ is. It is John who attempts to prevent Jesus from being baptized because he recognized his sinless nature. In the womb, as you remember, it was John who leaped for joy when he came into the presence of our Lord in the womb of Mary. Today is a wonderful day as we remember the baptism of our Lord. It'd be wonderful if we could have had a baptism today. Here is the Lamb of God coming into the world for us to receive baptism, not because he needs baptism, so that he might become one with us. That's the beauty of it. God comes down to earth to be one with us. Christ, who is the sinless Lamb of God, through the waters of baptism, takes upon himself our sinful nature, becomes one with each one of us. And in that wonderful day as he comes up out of the River Jordan, we see this wonderful exchange. Christ comes down to the muddy Jordan, much like our lives, muddied with all kinds of things. And Christ fulfills for us what we cannot do. It is here as we come and talk about the baptism of our Lord that we have the wonderful opportunity to talk about the doctrine of baptism and apply it to our lives. In the Old Testament reading for the day from Isaiah, the 42nd chapter, we hear these words, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring justice to the nations." If you listen to those words, here is Isaiah, hundreds of years before that event, when he comes down to the River Jordan, talking about his servant, my son, the one in whom I have chosen. "And I will put my spirit upon him, and he will bring forth justice to the nations." But the reading, it goes on to tell us what that means, bringing justice to the nations. He will bring justice. He will not grow tired or faint. In verse 6, there are powerful words. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. Think about that marvelous act that God does for all of creation. Already, in that Old Testament reading, we see the endorsement of our Heavenly Father upon this one whom He has chosen. The one who is going to do for us what we could not do. He will open the eyes of the blind, release those who sit in darkness, the darkness of sin. What a powerful exchange that is. See, the beauty of Jesus' baptism is that Christ identifies Himself with each one of us. He puts Himself in our place. He bears our sins and does for us what we could not do. And then the epistle reading in Romans, Paul picks up upon that. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. Paul's wanting us to see how that wonderful exchange takes place. In Christ's death and resurrection, you and I have been given life in His name. What a powerful gift that belongs to each one of us. And then I put you through singing all 7 verses of that wonderful hymn from Luther. It has some great meaning, a little tricky tune, but some great words in it. Verse 6, woe to those who cast aside this grace so freely given. They shall in sin and shame abide, and to despair be driven. For born in sin, their works must fail, their striving saves them never. Their pious acts do not avail, and they are lost forever. Eternal death their portion. That is what happens to those who turn their backs on our Savior. And all that the mortal eye beholds in water as we pour it, before the eyes of faith unfolds, the power of Jesus' merit. For here it sees the crimson flood to all our ills brings healing, the wonders of His precious blood, the love of God revealing, assuring His own pardon. What a beautiful picture that is, to be assured that we have been forgiven in Christ. You could preach a sermon just on the hymn itself. And here comes Christ to the Jordan River. The voice comes down from heaven. Jesus sees His Father and the Spirit and the sinless Son of God comes to bear your sin, my sin, the sin of the entire world. What He would do on the cross would be a wonderful exchange, not just in one event, but for all time. The sinless Lamb of God, bearing the sin of all mankind. Comprehend what that means in your own life. Think about it. It's what we call his vicarious atonement. Christ atoning for our sins, that you and I might have a relationship with our Heavenly Father in heaven. And then we sang, to open our worship, Father welcomes that beautiful hymn. God is the one who welcomes us into his family. He is the one who rejoices for every believer. And that same Spirit was present in your baptism and in every baptism that takes place in this church. It is not what you and I do, it is what God does for us. And sometimes we lose sight of that. That is the Lutheran teachings. That's what it's all about. This is God acting on our behalf. It is God who calls us by name. It is God who welcomes us into his family. It's a wonderful exchange that God makes possible for each and every one of us. It is about God loving his creation. We are given a new birth as a child of God, forgiven. And be able to share that forgiveness with one another. Luther would go on to say in a number of his writings about how it is that we must daily drown the old Adam that resides within us. It's important that we recognize our own sinfulness and we come before God to confess that sin. We ought to do that daily in our lives. Because it's all about what God has done for us. That forgiveness that he creates. The new creation as he welcomes us as his child. Focusing on the life we have in Christ. Paul would later write about the fruits of the Spirit. It's about loving one another. Welcoming one another. And most important of all, forgiving one another. Too often, we let those little things stand between us and our brothers and sisters in Christ. Too often, we put people at bay because we haven't learned how to say, I forgive you. And yet, in that great exchange, God washed away every one of our sins. It is about living in God's grace. If you've given any thought to our worship today, you need to think about how each one of us has been buried with Christ because of Christ's baptism into death. Paul so beautifully writes about that in Romans. And then we have that wonderful gospel where we see that baptism actually taking place. Most of us do not have the privilege, because we were baptized as infants, to hear and consider those words spoken at our baptism. That is why in this worship we did the baptismal remembrance, to remind us of what God does and is doing for each one of us. God has given us a wonderful exchange. He took your sin, my sin. He replaced it with his love, his grace, his mercy. As a child of God, as a child of light, we need to see that we have been welcomed by our Father into his heavenly grace. There is no better place to be than to live in what Christ has accomplished for each of us. Think about how that exchange, that wonderful gift that God has given to each of us. Amen. We continue as we rise for prayer.